So my brothers and sisters, I first of all want to welcome many of you who come here Christmas, Easter, time to time. It's really an honor that you'd come to us at St. Monica's. And we're not a perfect community, and your pastor sometimes is a little out of sorts, and so it isn't always perfect, I got to tell you that. But we are a community that really intends with all our heart to be of service to you. So if there are things in your life that you need, things that happen in your life, whether it's a wedding or a funeral or some great struggle in your life or whatever that is, I want you to know that this is a place where you can come. And our lines are usually open, and we do try to respond to calls. And so it is important for us to be a community that says to you that you are very, very welcome here. No matter what your life tradition is, no matter how you find your way, we claim you here if you come to this community of faith. And so we really want to thank you tonight. We really honor that life tradition, we honor the way in which you are making your way of life, but we really want you to know in a special way that you are very welcomed, and we are here, stand ready to be of service and help to you. So let's give each other a good round of applause as we welcome all of our people here tonight at St. Monica's. Thank you. I can only imagine what has happened over these last weeks of Lent, 6 weeks of Lent. It's been probably the most extraordinary in my lifetime. On Monday morning, 2 days before Ash Wednesday, I got on my bike at 4:30 and went out the front door of the rectory, and I was going down the street, and right on the corner on the opposite side of 7th there was one of the ABC television trucks. And I said, oh my God, something else has happened. You know, we've had some tough times. Well, I kept moving. I didn't want to be interviewed, so I went down a block. Well, not at 4:30. I mean, I don't look too good at 4:30. So at 4:30 in the morning. So I went down a block, and I picked out my iPhone, and I looked to the Los Angeles headlines, and there it was. Benedict had resigned. I looked at that, and I said, whoa! I mean, I don't know how you all feel about place and power and position, but I'm just telling you, folks, that's not an easy thing for anyone. I mean, when you're in that place in life, it's usually a gun to your head or something happens that you leave. But this man, in I think a real act of humility, said he could no longer do what he's doing. He could no longer effectively lead this 1 billion people in this church. Of course, we were in darkness. It's been a tough time. And so, in this great act of humility, he left the church as leader, as pope. And then on March the 13th, in this year, 2013, at about 11 o'clock in the morning, got this incredible news of a man from Buenos Aires, Argentina. Now, maybe you knew about him, but I didn't know a thing about this guy. And he walks out onto this balcony, and there's a couple hundred thousand people. And the poor guy looked as stiff as a board. You know, he looked like this. And then I heard his choice of name. And I could only imagine, how could anyone in my lifetime take the name Francis? That was an extraordinary move. Even John Allen, who is the great commentator on CNN, who I follow, said, you know, it's never been done because Francis was like the untouchable. He was this great person. Francis chose that name. But something happened yesterday that made me even, I mean, there's been all kinds of things, and we all have heard and read about them. But this was yesterday that just really struck me. He went on Thursday. Instead of going to the Basilica in St. John Lateran or to St. Peter's Basilica, he went to a detention home, a detention facility. Young people, criminals, young people who had made terrible mistakes in their lives. And this man got down on that floor and washed the feet of 12 people. And then when they broadcast that, not only did he wash the feet of these 12 people, some were women. No pope has ever done that. It's always been cardinals and bishops. He washed the feet of women. And then he washed the feet of Muslims. Now, I knew something was going to happen. There was going to be fire after that. So yesterday, but Friday, Saturday, lots of rumbling. Lots of criticism. Lots of saying, what is this? Did you hear his response? This is from Francis. He said, it was a matter of the heart. Matter of my heart. I don't have an explanation. It just came from my heart. How about that? I mean, I think that's extraordinary. You'd never imagine, to be honest with you, that I'd hear a Pope say that to this world. And only imagine. But here we are. Now, folks, he's 76 years of age. So you've got a pope, Francis, who's 76. And you've got a pastor, Lloyd, who's 73. So you're stuck with two old men. But I think one thing, sure. He's not going to wait around. He's not going to dream about something he's going to do in 10 years. 76 and 73, you're not negotiating a lot of things. You just do it. You just do it. Don't have a lot of Easters left. This man, I think, with great love, matter of the heart, that's what I believe. I think that age and that experience and that circumstance brings that. But pray for him. Pray for that good man on this day. And pray for your 73-year-old pastor as well. So here is the reading today, my brothers and sisters. It's the reading that I chose from all of the readings around this Gospel of John. I think it's the best of the readings of the resurrection. Jesus rises from the dead on this day. It's living proof, brothers and sisters, that this Christ is the Son of God. He claimed it. He said the proof of it would be his resurrection, and then he did it. So that's what we have before us today. Theologically, we have the central thematic mystery of our faith. The proclamation that this Christ is the Son of God. And the proof of that is his resurrection from the dead. Yes, it is. But it's also for us the reminder that not only did he rise from the dead, but that we are sure to follow. I can only imagine, but that is the reality, that you and I one day will follow Jesus Christ, and we too will be given this gift of eternal life. So the promise is fulfilled in the resurrection of his claim and the promise of the very reason why we are made and created. That we will one day see our God face to face. We will follow in the footsteps of the risen Lord. And so that's what Easter is about. And on this day, there is a third teaching that I would just share with you for a moment. Our Lord is in the garden, and Mary is his dearest friend. And Mary comes to the tomb, and she expects the body to be there. He's dead. Body's gone. And she looks around and she sees a guy in the garden and she thinks it's the gardener. Makes sense. And what is it that changes Mary's mind? What is it that brought that moment of revelation to her? It is her name. He turns to Mary and says, "Mary, Mary." She recognizes him. Just as anyone who has a friendship, who is in love, who knows a person. When do we know a person? We know a person when we know their name. Francis, Mary. That's how we know people. We all want people to know who we are. And we want to know who you are. That's how we do it, by name. And in that moment, Mary responds, "Rabboni, Savior, Lord." Beautiful, beautiful moment in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here's the story. It's a story about a guy who had a business, had some money, wealthy guy. Now, this is not just in the last couple of years. Several years ago, ever before computers swept the world and the nation and iPhones. And so he decided at the early stages of this to put computers into a middle school, a middle public school, just to see. Imagine this now. This is the thinking then. Just to see if it would help people in their education. Didn't know, so they did it. And the principal of that school decided that all of the kids would have 4 days on the computer every week. And he began to see that this was really making a difference in the lives of these kids. They were growing, and there were some incremental leaps, and education of reading and mathematics and all those things really began to take hold. And so he was really happy. But there was one teacher in the school that was really upset at this principal. He was the teacher of the special ed kids. And the decision by the principal at that day was they were not going to be allowed to be on the computer. Everybody else, but not the special kids. And so this teacher was so upset about that. She went after that principal and she hounded him until he finally made the decision that he would indeed allow them as well to have 4 days a week. So the whole school, the kids in this regular curriculum, and then the special ed kids would have the opportunity 4 days a week. And what he discovered was that the kids that were in special needs had not just some growth in those areas, they had incremental growth. So they became the poster children. They became literally the people who the principal could tout so he could get some more money for computers. He could tout to people as the ones who actually got the biggest bang for the buck. Now that would be a good story, but this is the rest of it. The most touching part of this story was about a kid named Raymond. Yet every problem in the book, a dysfunctional home, acute shyness, bad eyesight, zero academic performance. But in one semester, we can only imagine, in one semester, Raymond on the computer caught up with his seventh grade class. Zero to the seventh grade. Special needs for that computer. You can only imagine. So as he became this poster child, they got the idea of putting him in front of a camera on television so that he could be interviewed, so that he could tell people, and that others might then participate in this great work. And when the person that was interviewing Raymond said to him, "How was it that he blossomed? How did this happen in one semester? How was this so possible?" Raymond looked right into the camera, shook his head and said, "Well, you see, all the kids at this school have always called me retard. They called me retard. But my computer calls me Raymond. My computer calls me Raymond. How about that? Francis. Mary. Rabboni. Raymond. Sisters and brothers, that's Easter. We've got to quit naming people. I was at a detention facility yesterday morning, said Mass, two Masses, Easter Saturday. I looked right in the eyes of these kids. I said, quit tagging each other. I said to them, and I say to you, you may not believe this, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows you by name. He knows your name. He knows our name. He doesn't call us criminal. Doesn't call us retard. Doesn't call us sinner. He calls us by name. Michael, Rick, Mary, Dan, by name. And so when you and I get to that place someday, we're going to be surprised. When we see our God face to face, and it's our resurrection, we will come before this great living Jesus Christ, and he will say, Mary. How about that? Wouldn't our life be different if we believed that? Our God knows our So there was a young man, Bart Millard. His daddy died in 1992. Just before his death, his daddy said to him, son, don't cry over me. Don't cry, because I'm going to a better place. You're the guy that's stuck. You're stuck. I'm going to a better place. And the word that kept coming back to him again and again, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine a God that knows my name. I can only imagine a God that came in the Son, Jesus Christ, suffered death and rose from the dead for you and for me. I can only imagine that I will see my God someday face to face. He will say, Lloyd, welcome.
Forever. worship you can only imagine. I can only hold me.